The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the Upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Well, good morning, Summit. Good to be here with you. My name is Kyle Estep, one of the elders and pastors here, and always a privilege to be with you. And as Jody said and Carissa echoed, always a joy to hear you singing things that are true about God back to Him. And just agree with so much of what Jody said is true about this place. When you take a morning and you think about casting a vision for a group of people over a certain period of time, you have to be very clear from the very beginning that you hold all of that like this. And I just want you to know that when we take a morning like this, we are not telling God what we think He should do next. We are not presenting to God a business plan that we ask Him to bless, or we're not attempting to control outcomes that only God can actually produce. Instead, when we think about vision, all we're trying to do is pay close and prayerful attention to what God has already made clear, both in His word and through His work in the midst of His people, and then to respond with faith and with humility and with obedience and with trust that God could continue to do those kinds of things, and we want to be a part of it. Back in 2018, when we started something called Vision 2030, first of all, it felt very far away. And second of all, it was just grabbing a chunk of time where you could say, God, if You would allow us in a reasonable amount of time to see some of these things come to fruition, it would just be an encouragement, and we could name some of the things we're hoping to see You do, and then reflect every year and celebrate the things You do and the things You do way beyond what we expected. And that's been a joy of ours for quite some time. And there were a few wrinkles along the way in terms of slowing us down and taking two-year gaps and trying to think through everything together. But we come back to this morning because God is not standing still. And we come to a morning like this not to be static or rigid or to think that it's all about Summit or what we're doing, but to collectively recognize we are a people in a place in a given period of time that God ordained. Acts chapter 17 is a really beautiful passage, and we don't have time to break it all down this morning, but Paul is presenting really the story of Scripture to a people who did not know who God was. And he says to them in the middle of that, and we've mentioned this here time and time again before, but he says that God ordained the periods of time that you dwell on the earth and the boundary lines of your dwelling. God Himself ordained the period of time that you would dwell on this earth and the boundary lines where your life would play out, which has massive implications and very encouraging implications to all of you sitting here and myself in this room, because guess what? You're not here by accident. You're not some kind of mistake. You're not some kind of happy accident. You're not something that God just responded to or reacted to. He meant for you to be here and alive in this moment, in this decade, in this century, in this season, in this place. And He has a desire to use your life that He made and knit together in your mother's womb and brought to fruition and saw your days before even one of them came to pass, according to Psalm 139. And then intended that through you, part of the glory of His creation was to make mankind in His own image and likeness, so that through you, wherever you go, wherever He places you in His wisdom and in His sovereignty, you would be a vessel by which He might say something to the world about who He is. And that's why it's a confident place for us to say what we believe more than anything is that God wants to use His people to give other people access to the gospel. Imperfect people, People who are clinging to the promise that God has started a work in us through his Spirit, that he will bring along one degree of glory at a time, according to Corinthians, and he will bring it to completion. He will finish it. And along the way, those imperfect, redeemed, growing and maturing, little by little people, not little people, little by little, growing and maturing, his people would be spread out and sent out to every corner of the earth where he wanted them to live and have their being. And other people around them would see the change that he produces and the glory of who he is and hear the word of what he has said about who he is and what he's doing in the world. Every man, woman, and child might have repeated opportunities to see and to hear and to understand and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ without ever having to come or go anywhere, because the gospel would go through all of Christ's people. And guess what? All of Christ's people live all over the world. And they go all over the world. And they have an opportunity and a privilege to participate with the God of the universe to say something about who he is and to bear witness to the fact that he has done something magnificent when he brought us out of death into life, out of darkness into his magnificent light, that we might proclaim the excellencies of who he is. That reality shapes what we think about when we think about vision, because here's what we know, even here in the upstate of South Carolina, in the buckle of the Bible Belt, in the South, in 2026, God is already and continually working in the upstate. And it's not, there's a temptation to say, and he doesn't need us. And that's true. He could do whatever he wants. But guess what he wants? To use us, to do with him what he wants to do. So God's already at work here in the upstate and across our nation and throughout the world. And a part of faithful vision is learning to recognize where he's moving and then yielding ourselves to his greater purposes and plans. So this, when we speak of these things, we're praying about these things, we're processing, we're asking, God, this seems like maybe something you might do to help us continue to be faithful to what you've called us to for your glory. But all of it gets held like this, because it has to be yielded to who he is and what he's doing and what he wants. Vision at its best is really about discernment. It's about asking questions like, what has God already revealed in Scripture? What has he already entrusted to us? Where do we see the fruit and prompting and invitation to join him in something he's already actively doing? The fact of the matter is, for most of the people you interact with, God's 1,000 steps ahead of you. And by the time you get the opportunity to participate, he's already moving. And you get to join him. So when we talk about vision in seasons and periods of time, it's because it helps us be intentional. It reminds us to stay flexible. It helps us to continue to seek what we believe God already wants. If you have your Bibles, briefly open them to Ephesians chapter 4. This has been a meaningful passage for us around Summit since we started in 2007. Hard to believe we're going on 19 years in this journey together. And some very new to that journey, and some have been here for a really long part of that journey. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing to the church in Ephesus, and what he says in Ephesians chapter 4 in this short section is just a really beautiful reminder of what God's up to in the life of his people and how he intended to be a part of doing that. And he says this starting in verse 11. Starting in verse 11, he says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, and the prophets, and the evangelists, and the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry." Guess what? The ministry is not about the people who are either paid or part-time or volunteer staff. The ministry is the whole bride of Christ doing the work that God has ordained and equips and desires to equip us to do with him. Everybody. Everybody's involved. It's an all play. It's an all skate if you grew up in the 80s and went to skate rinks. It's all skate. Everybody, help know how bad you are. If you can skate backwards, you'll impress some people, but it doesn't matter. We need everybody. Multi-generational room, you know, you got to, I don't even know what to say to the, I don't even know. Don't even try. To equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, for what purpose? The building up the body of Christ, verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. Man, what a thing to strive for. God's already given it. And of the knowledge of the Son of God to full maturity. It says mature manhood, but that's Paul's way in first century of going, everybody growing up into the fullness of their created intent in Christ. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I started thinking about what do I really want, and all of these things we're praying for and all the things Jody mentioned and will mention at the end of this service that we want to see God do here. And I could not get away from the word full. I want us to be full. And I'm not talking about seats. That'd be great, but God does that. I'm talking about the intention of the fullness of life that we have in Christ being lived out and expressed in every person in this room. Full of the life that you have been given in Christ. Full of joy as you live that life in the places where God has sovereignly put you. Full of confidence that God wants to use you in all of your strengths and also in all of your weaknesses to say something about his glory to the people he's put around you. And full of hope and assurance that God will do what he's promised to do. Full people living in the fullness of Christ, growing into the fullness of maturity, living with full expectation that God will not stop. This will not end. This will not be over, the world as we know it, until he has completed what he wants to complete in redeeming people to himself, and that we get to be a part of it. In verse 14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. This is how you survive in a world that's constantly throwing arrows and daggers at truth. You do it together. Bound together, which is complement to that unity he already mentioned, and then an expression of the neediness for that unity and the beauty of people living together in common grace in Christ. And this is a whole nother message, and we will not go there today, but it's a grieving type thing to remember that sometimes the blessing of the fact that we know we're not the only church in town, there's a thousand other churches, and praise God for every church that proclaims the gospel and teaches the scriptures, and you don't belong to us, you belong to Christ. I believe all of that to the core of my being, but one of the problems in the culture of the American church is if you get a little bit upset, you can just hit the road. And we don't work through things that unity would ask us to work through. And we don't strive with one another. And we don't complete the idea of what it means to experience the fullness of what Christ wants to do here. Because honestly, many times, it's easier just to cash out. And you don't, again, that's not a conviction for you to just stay put if we're doing something that you disagree with theologically, or if you feel like the Lord is calling you somewhere. We want to talk through all of that and bless you as you go. But the idea that we could just leave and disappear because there's somewhere else that's not as hard, there's other people not as challenging, is not a biblical idea. Anyway. Verse 15, the way to stand together is to speak the truth in love. Grow up in every way into him who is the head. Jesus Christ is the head of the body. And then listen to verse 16. From whom the whole body, all y'all, joined and held together by what? Every joint with which it is equipped. When each part of the body, which in the analogy Paul uses about the body where Christ is the head of the church, guess what the parts are? All y'all. when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Man, time is a funny thing. Spiritual maturity and unity and growth in the life of the body of Christ is not just about knowledge or behavior or even passion. It's about becoming more fully aligned with Christ in every dimension of life, our loves, our relationships, our witness, our obedience. It's the phrase, in every way, growing in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. And that brings us to this place where we go, okay, in this year, in this place, with these people, what are some things we hope to see God grow in us as we grow in the fullness of our life in Him? And we recognize the posture of that has to be one of dependency, great dependency. He's the one who has to set the vision, but He's also the one that has to give grace upon grace so that we can do it together, because somewhere along the way, it's going to not feel like we want to do it with somebody else in the room. That's just life. So the way you get through that is in Him. And in Him, we hold the mission close to our hearts. You've been here 19 years. The mission statement has been the same from the beginning. Every man, woman, and child, repeated opportunity to see, hear, and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ without them having to come or go anywhere, because the gospel goes in you. Love it when they come here. Love it when people walk in these doors. Want more to walk into these doors. But they don't have to have access to the gospel if you and I are living on purpose where God has put us. But when it comes to the vision, we hold that with open hands, because the Lord leads and we follow. He opens doors and sometimes He closes them. He confirms some of our plans and prayers, and sometimes He redirects us, and we delight in Him. And that's not failure if He changes something. It's the faithfulness to what He wants and our posture to try to hold that with Him. And so when I come to Vision 2030, I think of 2026. We got 4 years ahead of us till that year comes, and then, I don't know, we start over. And we go another 10, and we just trust that God, in the wisdom that He has while He has us here, wants to keep moving. And if He does that, our desire is to pay close attention to Him and always yield to what He's up to. And we kind of think about that in our 5 core distinctives. I'm going to name them, give you a really brief explanation in case you're newer here or if you've been here forever and just need the refresher. And then I'm going to tell you something that is a goal we're praying for, but invite you into the prayer. The first distinctive we have in ministry, the way we think about what God wants us to do in our churches around Summit, is we want to be target-driven. And when I say target-driven, this is what I mean. Summit Church wants to saturate our God-given geographies where we gather and where we live with livable access to the gospel. We want to saturate the God-given geographies we are in with livable access to the gospel. That's the church we meet at, so within 5 miles of this building, but also, guess what happens when you leave here? Most of you go outside 3 to 5 miles of this building. So it's also where you live. That's your neighborhood and your workplace and the place where your kids go to school. It's the place where your life takes you. That's a circle where you have relationship and influence, and we want you to think about the gospel in those places. And then when we all get together, we think about the gospel in this place. And it's a very unique circle around here. We call it our circle of accountability, but it's about 5 mile radius. It's 130,000 people, very diverse population in every way, shape, and form that you could imagine. What would it look like for the people of Summit Cherrydale, not the only church in town, to prayerfully think about what God wants us to do to see every person in this geography have access to the gospel in a very livable, tangible way through another person? We have to do that with other gospel-minded churches, and then we have to do that with prayerful dependence upon the Lord through all of us coming together to think about that regularly. And one of the ways we're going to seek to do that this year is to engage our local circle of accountability right here in Cherrydale with the gospel through at least 3 community initiatives where all of us are participating or invited to participate, and then equipping our members, all of you who call this place home, to go live in your own personal place with monthly resources to help you think about what does it look like to share the beauty of the gospel with the people God's put right around me. And this is the prayer. Lord, would you guide us to purposeful opportunities to serve those you've sovereignly placed around us with the hope of the gospel and caring for their tangible needs. It takes both, by the way, in the fight we constantly have about whether or not we should do something good for our neighbor, or it doesn't count unless you say something about Jesus. And I'm like, how about both? How about you love your neighbor? And part of loving your neighbor is asking the Lord for the opportunity to know when to open your mouth and say something beautiful about who Jesus is. Whether they receive it or not is not your job. How you present it and how you present yourself to care for them is. I would invite you right now for just 60 seconds to stop and consider who has God placed around you right now, at work, at home, out in schools, out in the places where you live and do life. Who has God placed around you right now that you know they do not know Jesus Christ? They do not know what it means to be redeemed and reconciled to him and have the life that he offers. And some of them are pushing that away as hard as they can, and others seem very receptive. I want you to think about who are those people God's placed around you. And I want you to call out over the next 60 seconds where you are to God, their name, that God might bring them to himself even in this year and use you to be a part of that process. And those of you in the room who go, I don't know anybody who doesn't know Jesus, now's the time to pray. God opens your world up a little bit to find some people around you that don't know Jesus that he might want you to share the gospel with. 60 seconds isn't long, but it's long enough to say what you want to say to the Lord about the people you care about that he's placed around you who need to hear Jesus. Go for it. Name them. Lord, hear our prayer. Continue to be the God who redeems. Continue to draw people to yourself, and in your kindness, use us to bear witness to who you are and to participate with you in any way, shape, or form in seeing more people come to see and know and understand the beauty of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. FYI, you'll receive all of this next week in a little card as Austin's preaching in Deuteronomy. So if you just want to let it wash over you, it'll be something you can remember next week handed to you. The second distinctive for us, beyond trying to pay attention to where we purposefully live, is simply called spiritual formation. And what we mean by that is wholehearted transformation rooted in the gospel of grace. We are being transformed from the inside out, all of us. And that the priority of that is important because one of the things that is necessary for a watching world to understand the power and the beauty of the gospel is to continually see the evidences of the ways in which it is changing us. Not acting and walking around as if we have it all together, but acknowledging our dependency upon Christ, growing in humility, growing in our ability to love, growing in our ability to hear other people and be patient with other people and to speak the truth in ways that try to meet them in the midst of where they are. And that is a waning gift in the life of the people of Christ that needs to get recaptured to think well about the fact that I believe for the majority of our lives moving forward, you're not going to be the majority in the world. And they're all going, man, we need more of you. We love you guys. You guys are amazing. We just need more of you. According to Jesus, they're going to hate you. And you should still love them, and you should still pray for them, and you should still move toward them, and you should still serve them, and you should still tell them the glory of God in Christ Jesus, and you should still proclaim the good news, and they should not be able to do anything to you that actually disrupts the hope that you have in Christ and the confidence you have that they can kill you, and it means nothing. Sounds easy in words. But it's the wholehearted transformation from the inside out that makes it possible. And so as a leadership here at the church, we've got to have a sense of what God's up to in the life of our people and whether or not the things we're actually trying to do are helping you or not. And we've done this for almost 19 years, every couple of years, but it's been about a 3 or 4 year gap since we've last done it. So one of our goals this year is to complete an anonymous spiritual formation assessment during the first quarter of this year, which allows you to give us anonymous feedback about what God's up to in your life. And it's around the things we do here, the life groups and Summit Disciple and Sunday gatherings and serving and all the stuff we engage in the community so that you can respond and go, hey, this really helps me as I try to pursue Christ. This is where I really struggle. This is where I need help. This is where I need more resources. And then we come alongside of that and try to equip you for the work of discipleship and ministry that God has for us together. And one of the goals that is attached to that is to identify and raise up 15 to 20 new discipleship leaders who help instigate discipleship all over Summit Church. And the prayer is, Lord, continue to grow and mature the people of Summit through the help of your indwelling spirit, the truth of your word, and the compelling nature of your life-transforming grace. When you think about the prayer for spiritual formation and the way in which we're praying God would move in our midst, this is what I want you to know more than anything else. One, if you belong to Christ by faith, he is at work in you. And he's not going to stop. And two, you cannot get to the fullness of the transformation he is working in your life alone. He never meant for you to. It's impossible to get there. Find your people and get after being honest and allowing grace to just keep changing you from the inside out. I promise you, there is no one in this room who's unbroken, who doesn't need daily grace and new mercy every morning, who doesn't need the help of the Spirit, and who doesn't need other people in their life to help them see the grace of God fully transform them and bring them to the completed place in Jesus' presence one day. No one. So when you're praying for the formation of your own soul, let's learn to pray for the formation of one another. Because we actually need each other. And some of the ways in which God might want to change us in 2026 is through some of the people that aren't easy for you to be around. It'll be amazing. 60 seconds seems like a cheat. But I want you to take just another minute and I want you to ask the Lord this question quietly in your own heart. Where is one place, and there may be many, and he'll take you on that journey. I promise he won't leave you or forsake you. But where is one place that the Lord, you know, is pressing right now? This is an area I want to transform. I have the power and the grace and the joy to do it. And you need to say to him, let's go. He's ready. Where's the one place in your life right now, present on mind, present in heart? I need you to change this in me. I need you to transform me by your grace. And he's saying to you, I know, I have the power to do it, I have the grace to do it, and I have the delight and joy to do it. And you say back to him, let's go. Pray on that. Father God, it is you who made us alive in Christ Jesus by faith through grace, by grace through faith. You did it. And it is you who have promised to complete the work you've started in us. It is you who is the only means of hope we have to keep changing in this life, to become more and more like Christ, and to mature into the fullness of the life we have in him. Help us to be honest, authentic as Jody has already commended, humble and obedient, but obedient for the joy that is set before us to experience who you are and the fullness of your joy in us. Help us to walk with you and be obedient to you, and where we need one another, to invite others in more faithfully so that you can continue to bring the change that you desire to bring, and you find in us people ready and willing to lean in and grow. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Our third distinctive we call interdependent leadership. Simply put, it is a group of or plurality of diverse and diversely gifted leaders equipping the church toward ministry and maturity. We do not believe at Summit in one leader alone at the top. We have different roles and functions and gifts, and we believe bringing all of the leaders together in that capacity is what strengthens the church, and is one of the reasons I read Ephesians chapter 4, because some God gave to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, and we still believe those functions, not title, not office, put that aside. Nobody here is a prophet in that sense. Nobody here is an apostle who saw Jesus and walked with him in that sense, but functionally living as they did with the purposes they lived, bringing those things together to equip the body to do the work of the ministry and grow in maturity. And we want to do that with a plurality of leaders and no senior pastor. Jesus is the lead and head of this church, and we want to submit to him, submit to each other, and faithfully follow him. And so that's our desire in an elder-led church. And one of the goals is to actually identify and train new lay elders and deacons at each congregation prepared to step into leadership and service roles by the end of this year. And so we believe God's already calling and working in people to raise them up to be leaders in service in the roles of ministry of deacons, men and women alike. And then to ask that Lord would continue to reveal to us people who are qualified and desiring to lead in the role of elder, and to equip them and come alongside of them and raise up elders to serve at every Summit congregation as well. And we believe God can and desires to do that. And there is no leader, no gifted leader, that by themselves can lead this place where God wants it to go. You will die the strengths and weaknesses of a person leading alone. And so we want to lead borrowing and grabbing a hold of every capacity and gift and function that exists in the life of this body and get after what God's calling us to together. And we realize there are certain responsibilities for leaders in the church and expectations, and we want to live obedient to those with integrity and call more people to them. Our prayer for this year is, Lord, you're already calling and equipping the leaders we need for the future. Grant us the wisdom and discernment to identify, train, and empower them to lead and serve as you see fit. This is what I'll invite you to do. When you get the card next week, I'll invite you to start praying two things. Lord, is this anything you want me to move toward, to grow toward? Whether it's this year or not, is this something I want to pursue? I want to be qualified for, whether they give me the title or not. I want to grow in the characteristics and competencies of someone who could lead or serve in this way. And then secondly, if not me right now, who? Because you are praying for the people God wants to continue to lead here and equip this place. Fourth, or I will absolutely run out of time and have some of the kids chasing me out the door. Church planting and church partnership reproducing and resourcing new and existing churches. I said this already, we're not the only church in town. We've never believed we're the only church in town. We want to pray for other churches close by to us on a regular basis because we need them to succeed, to see every man, woman, and child have opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel without ever having to come or go anywhere. We're going to have to plant new churches because guess what? The population of the upstate's outpacing everything. So we can't keep up if we don't start new expressions. And dying churches shouldn't always just be left to die. We should step in, revitalize, and bring new life into them, which guess what? In all of that, will cost us something. It'll cost us something financially, but it'll also cost us sometimes looking across this room and, like the church in Antioch in Acts chapter 13, giving up our best, not wanting to let them go, but trusting for the kingdom that maybe some of them have to move into new places to start new work so the gospel can advance. And you've already done that, whether you believe it or not or know it or not, through Redemption Life Fellowship on Pelham Road, Living Vine Community Church over in Woodruff. You've done it in the ways in which you've supported Simpsonville and Spartanburg, and they've supported you. There's an open-handedness, God. Your people belong to you, and if you want to grow your church and expand your kingdom, you have access to all of us and all of our stuff. It's yours to spend. Spend it however you please. And so our prayer. We desire to be a blessing and encouragement to the greater body of Christ through sharing resources, raising up and releasing leaders, and continuing to see healthy churches established through the upstate and beyond. And at the end of the day, we cannot do this alone. It's part of our partnership with Upstate Church Collective and our desire to raise up leaders through the residency. We'd love to have at least one resident applicant at every Summit congregation next year. Shout out to Will for being our sole one this year, but we want to do more, and we want to plant and revitalize churches, and we're praying for one to two potential new works to begin in 2026. And so, Lord, if you would let us be a church that plants churches, helps churches, blesses churches, and lives outside of our four walls, we'd love that. That's our prayer. And last but not least, in any way, shape, or form, is the distinctive of global intentionality. And it simply means partnership for the whole gospel to the whole world. There's no way to get the gospel everywhere God wants it to go if we don't do it partnered with other people and ministries. One goal is to actually develop a strategic support plan for every 135 mission partner and every child partner, and to implement that support and care system this year. We have partners all over the world, and we want you to know them. That's why we handed out in November the prayer guide for all of our missional partners. We want you to pray for them. We want you to learn to support them and encourage them. We want, when you feel prompted, for you to reach out and let them know that they matter and the work they're doing is important. And then we want to think well about how, as a church, we can collectively care for them better throughout the year, and we're committed to doing that. Even this year, in March, there's 13 people from Summit going to Kenya, in Africa, to support Naomi's Village, who is an Every Child Ministry partner. And in June, it's about to get going that you can start registering for a June trip with Back-to-Back Ministries in Mexico to continue to support the work they do for the Every Child Initiative. And then we'll be letting you know of even new opportunities for 135 partners in this coming year, one of which is leaving to go to China from our Simpsonville congregation, and one of which, who is a young lady here, giving your life to the mission God's called her to in the U.S. Here at Summit Cherrydale. You'll hear more about her soon, but God is raising up people and sending them out. We're going to bless them, pray for them, and encourage them along the way. And the prayer is this: Lord, the expansion and witness of the good news of Jesus Christ into every corner of the world is our heartbeat until you return. Let us be purposeful with our current partners around the world while continuing to prayerfully grow our global witness for your glory. Those are our five distinctives. Those are the ways we think about our vision held in time with open hands for God to keep doing in us and through us the things that he wants. Some of you are like, you hear even the word vision and you're like, let's go. You're like, let's stand up and can we do a march out of here? And some of you are like, what's vision? That's because we're all uniquely gifted. Some of you are going to lead us into this vision because you are prayer warriors in the truest sense of the word. These things will be on your heart and mind with the Lord. And you will lead us in ways this body will never know because you are crying out to the Lord behind the scenes. Some of you will go and serve and do. You're doers. You get your hands muddy and dirty and you're ready to just tell me what to do. Where are we starting? Others of you will be leading others, helping others understand where we're heading and what God's up to and how to get there. Some of you will go, I don't like this one bit. Too much change. Everything's going to change. And I pray for every single person, every gifting and every wiring, that God would meet us to be a people who go after these things as long as God leads us toward them. He could change it. I said that already 1,000 times. But we're going to run after them until he does. And that he would make us a people in the midst of running after it who are full. Full of grace. Full of joy. Full of life. Full of unity. Full of expectation that God can do it. I'm going to ask Chris and the others to come back up, and we're going to sing a song that I don't think we've done here. It's out of Psalm 8, and Psalm 8 just thrives in the glory of God. It enjoys and delights the glory of God. It sees it in the world. It sees it in God's created order of all things. It sees it in mankind, whom God, for some reason, displays all the beauty of his glory in the world that we love to see. We see it when we look at the Grand Canyon or the mountains or the ocean. We see it all over the place. And then God says in Psalm 8, you also should see it when you look in the mirror, because I made you in my image and likeness for my glory. Not in an egotistical way. You see it because you see me. You see what I'm up to. You see the glory that I am, and you chase after and delight in me. And Psalm 8 celebrates all of that. So we're going to stand, and we're going to do what you've been told you already do. We're going to sing loud. We're going to enjoy the glory of God, and we're going to know this. I don't know what God has in store for 2026. I don't. I know what I hope to see him do. But this is what I do know. He will be good, he will be faithful, and he will get the glory. So let's join him. Let's participate for that glory. And let's declare that glory every place we go, every chance we get, believing with utmost confidence we are in those places because God meant for us to be there. Let's sing.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.